One of the greatest lessons you can learn in life is to master how to remain calm. And that is the thought for today. Welcome to 7 Good Minutes. I'm Clyde Lee Dennis. Thanks for joining me for what I believe will be 7 of the most enriching minutes of your day. In today's episode of 7 Good Minutes, we have our Mindful Monday segment, where we learn how to stay calm and confident no matter what. Enjoy.
A few years ago, I broke into my own house. I had just driven home. It was around midnight in the dead of Montreal winter. I'd been visiting my friend Jeff across town, and the thermometer on the front porch read minus 40 degrees. And don't bother asking if that's Celsius or Fahrenheit. Minus 40 is where the two scales meet. It was very cold. And as I stood on the front porch fumbling in my pockets, I found I didn't have my keys. In fact, I could see them through the window lying on the dining room table where I had left them. So I quickly ran around and tried all the other doors and windows, and they were locked tight. I thought about calling a locksmith. At least I had my cell phone, but at midnight, it could take a while for a locksmith to show up, and it was cold. I couldn't go back to my friend Jeff's house for the night because I had an early flight to Europe the next morning, and I needed to get my passport and my suitcase. So desperate and freezing cold, I found a large rock, and I broke through the basement window, cleared out the shards of glass. I crawled through. I found a piece of cardboard and taped it up over the whole opening, figuring that in the morning, on the way to the airport, I could call my contractor and ask him to fix it. This was going to be expensive, but probably no more expensive than a middle-of-the-night locksmith. So I figured, under the circumstances, I was coming out even. Now, I'm a neuroscientist by training, and I know a little bit about how the brain performs under stress. It releases cortisol, that raises your heart rate, it modulates adrenaline levels, and it clouds your thinking. So the next morning, when I woke up, on too little sleep, worrying about the hole in the window and the mental note that I had to call my contractor and the freezing temperatures and the meetings I had upcoming in Europe, and, you know, with all the cortisol in my brain, my thinking was cloudy, but I didn't know it was cloudy because my thinking was cloudy. And it wasn't until I got to the airport check-in counter that I realized I didn't have my passport. So I raced home in the snow and ice, 40 minutes, got my passport, raced back to the airport. I made it just in time, but they had given away my seat to someone else, so I got stuck in the back of the plane next to the bathrooms in a seat that wouldn't recline on an 8-hour flight. Well, I had a lot of time to think during those 8 hours of no sleep. And I started wondering, are there things that I can do, systems that I can put into place that'll prevent bad things from happening? Or at least if bad things happen, will minimize the likelihood of it being a total catastrophe. So I started thinking about that, but my thoughts didn't crystallize until about a month later. I was having dinner with my colleague Danny Kahneman, the Nobel Prize winner, and I somewhat embarrassedly told him about having broken my window and, you know, forgot my passport. And Danny shared with me that he'd been practicing something called prospective hindsight. It's something that he had gotten from the psychologist Gary Klein, who had written about it a few years before, also called the premortem. Now, you all know what the postmortem is. Whenever there's a disaster, a team of experts come in and they try to figure out what went wrong, right? Well, in the premortem, Danny explained, you look ahead and you try to figure out all the things that could go wrong, and then you try to figure out what you can do to prevent those things from happening or to minimize the damage. So what I want to talk to you about today are some of the things we can do in the form of a premortem. Some of them are obvious, some of them are not so obvious. I'll start with the obvious ones. Around the home, designate a place for things that are easily lost. Now, this sounds like common sense, and it is, but there's a lot of science to back this up based on the way our spatial memory works. There's a structure in the brain called the hippocampus that evolved over tens of thousands of years to keep track of the locations of important things. where the well is, where fish can be found, that stand of fruit trees, where the friendly and enemy tribes live. The hippocampus is the part of the brain that in London taxi cab drivers becomes enlarged. It's the part of the brain that allows squirrels to find their nuts. And if you're wondering, somebody actually did the experiment where they cut off the olfactory sense of the squirrels, and they could still find their nuts. They weren't using smell, they were using the hippocampus, this exquisitely evolved mechanism in the brain for finding things. But it's really good for things that don't move around much, not so good for things that move around. So this is why we lose car keys and reading glasses and passports. So in the home, designate a spot for your keys, a hook by the door, maybe a decorative bowl, for your passport, a particular drawer, for your reading glasses, a particular table. If you designate a spot and you're scrupulous about it, your things will always be there when you look for them. What about travel? Take a cell phone picture of your credit cards, your driver's license, your passport. Mail it to yourself so it's in the cloud. If these things are lost or stolen, you can facilitate replacement. Now, these are some rather obvious things. Remember, when you're under stress, the brain releases cortisol. Cortisol is toxic, and it causes cloudy thinking. So part of the practice of the premortem is to recognize that under stress, you're not going to be at your best, and you should put systems in place.
Please keep in mind, this is about half of the entire presentation. If you're up for a treat, you should definitely listen to the whole thing. You can do so by clicking the link labeled View the Full Video on YouTube in the show notes. So that does it for this episode of 7 Good Minutes. Until next time, let's be civil to one another out there. Thanks for listening.